Thank you, Marlo. Actually, it was not planned very far in advance at all. I looked up and I thought, I'm going to ask Milo to be in charge, but I better check with the pastor first to make sure he's cool with it. So, and he was. So. I am thankful and honored to be before you tonight to share the words of life from our holy scriptures and whatever thoughts the Lord puts on my mind. I look out and I see each one of you, and I was thinking this morning when the sanctuary was totally full, and I look around and I see people that I love. Everyone that was here this morning and everyone that's here this evening, I have great love for you because you're my family. And we share that bond that, more and more I see that love is really central to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is lo más importante, the most important thing. I'd like to share a few words this evening out of James and Galatians, and we're going to see how they sort of fit together. I'm going to preach primarily out of the fourth chapter of James. And I'm going to read the first four verses that really kind of sets the stage for the whole discussion. Excuse me. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And now I don't feel like I'm accusing you all of wars and fightings or being adulterers or adulteresses, but this is the world that James was talking to. But there is a kernel of truth in this for each of us, that ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that it may consume it upon your lusts. And sometimes there are things we want. Sometimes there are things we need. And I don't see that there's anything wrong with asking the Lord to provide these things for us. But sometimes there are things that we shouldn't ask for, that we shouldn't need or we shouldn't want. And we just need to keep that in mind. I'm not accusing anyone of anything here. But this is what he was dealing with at this time. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What is a friend? The scripture says, Jesus said that a friend is a person you would lay down your life for. We have friends and we admire, if someone is a really close friend, we admire that person. Sometimes we even emulate that person. We want to do the things that that person does and the way they do them. And in the past, this was a downfall of mine because I wasn't willing to be me. I felt like I had to be like somebody else. And that didn't always serve me very well. But I don't have that problem here. I admire each one of you for the various strengths and abilities that the Lord has given you. And you are my friends. friend is a person that you would share ideas with, a person that you would share your innermost thoughts with, a person that you want to be with all the time. But if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. What does it mean to be a friend of the world? It means to do worldly things. And if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. Do you want to be an enemy to the person who is so powerful that he created the universe? That he has all power, all wisdom, and all understanding? This would not be the right person to choose for an enemy. And so he sets that standard there, that there is a dividing line. There's a very much black and white here, that we're either a friend of God or we're an enemy of God. And so we want to make sure that we're on the right side of friendship here. I want to read in Galatians 5, and this talks about being a friend of God or being a friend of the world. Galatians 5, and I'm going to read 16, and then I'm going to read 19 through 21. I'll just start at 16 and read through 21. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Be in that constant communication with God. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This is that age-old conflict of good and evil, that battle that goes on in our minds every day, that there are things that tempt us to do wrong. And we need to be in the Spirit. We need to be in that constant communication with God, that we choose the right and that we choose for God to be our friend. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, meaning the old law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I don't think that I need to describe all of these things for you, but needless to say, they're all abominations in the eyes of God. And these are the things that define being a friend of the world. Of the which, meaning all of these things that I just listed, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't have one foot in the world and expect for the other foot to be in God's kingdom, because it will just rip you apart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit. What is produced? A tree produces fruit, like an apple or pear or orange. The fruit of the Spirit. What does having the Spirit in you, walking in the Spirit, what does that produce? It produces these things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are These are traits, these are qualities of the person who walks in the Spirit. These are the things that the Spirit encourages you to do, helps you to do, puts you in a position in your mind of having a great desire to emulate these things in your life. If God is your friend and not your enemy, you want to be like him and you want to do these things. These are all things that you would probably be ridiculed about by the world, because the world is an enemy to God. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we have that Spirit within us, then let's make sure that it's guiding us and that our actions show it. Let's go back to James. Then again in verse 4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? If you have the spirit of the world, then yes, that will be your guiding force. Envy, wanting things, and that's what he was talking about up here in these first verses. That if we have that spirit of Satan in our lives, then we're going to want the things of the world and the things of Satan. But he giveth more grace. He, God, gives us more grace. He gives us that spirit that works within us. And that working of the Spirit within us is grace. That it leads us, it guides us, it encourages us, it gives us peace, it gives us wisdom and understanding, and opens our eyes to the things that are going on around us, that tells us, be cautious here, be careful here, look out for this. This is not good. Or go this way. Walk in the Spirit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And this is kind of the meat of what I wanted to talk about tonight, was these next few verses. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And what does submit really mean? It means to subject yourself. It means to give yourself over to a power that's greater than yourself. And that power, of course, is God. That we need to give up those worldly lusts and desires and follow after God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. To be obedient to the commandments, to make our commitment. My notes are in Spanish, because I wrote this sermon to be given in Spanish, and so I have to translate what it says. We have to make our commitment with God, and that commitment is a two-way contract. I'll do this, you'll do that. I will follow you, I will listen to that Spirit, I will walk in that Spirit, and you will give me peace and courage and wisdom and joy. So submit yourselves to God. Be his. Give yourself over to him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's promise. That's the promise. If we walk in that spirit, if we exude the qualities of a person who is led by the Spirit, then Satan's going to look at you and say, I think maybe I'll go work on somebody else that's going to be a little easier to work on. Because God's got this guy. That Spirit is protecting him. And Satan knows he can't get through it. I'm going to go back to Galatians just a little bit more, talking about resisting the devil. I want to read 22 through 25. Actually, I did. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of these things are that outward show of that inward spirit that is going, that the devil is going to reject you because you're God's, you're his. And 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What does it say? We have crucified the flesh. We have given up the life of the old person in baptism, and we become that new person. We've crucified that flesh that had the worldly lusts, that flesh is crucified, along with the affections and lusts that that worldly person had. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Going on, excuse me, verse 8 of chapter 4 of James. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. How do we draw close to God? What is it that we can accomplish that draws us closer to him? I want to look at Philippians chapter 4. My fingers are so dry, I can't hardly turn the pages. I'm sorry. See, this is what happens when you get accustomed to using your phone. And I think I will. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. That sounds kind of unusual because it doesn't mean what we think it means. We think of careful as being, well, careful. But in Bible words, careful means don't be afraid of. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't let fear control your lives. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. We go to him in prayer, but part of our prayer needs to be thanksgiving. We need to acknowledge him as our ruler, our guiding force in our lives, the creator of the universe. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then let your requests be known to God. And remember that James talked about being careful what you ask for. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how we draw near to God. It's in prayer and supplication. Asking that for the presence of that Holy Spirit. I ask for that every morning in my morning prayers. That's one of the things I ask for, is that Spirit will be there, that I'll recognize it, that I'll feel it, that I'll hear it, that I'll accept it, that I'll follow it in my day. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Why does he say that it passes understanding? It passes human understanding. Because a person who does not have that Spirit doesn't understand the Spirit, doesn't understand how it works, it doesn't understand what it feels like. And so but when you have that Spirit, you know it, and you feel it, and you see it working in your life. Back to James. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He's not talking about soap and water here. When he says, cleanse your hands. What does he mean when he says, when he's talking about your hands? What is our hands do things? And so it's symbolic of what we do. It was pointed out, I think, by Brother D.A. in our rally. The word conversation means the entirety of our demeanor, how we act, how we present ourselves to the world. Cleanse your hands is... look at who you are. Look at your life. Look at the things that you do. Look at your attitudes and your motives for doing things. And make sure that those things are pure, that they're cleansed, that you are indeed walking in the Spirit. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So how do we purify our hearts? We get rid of those things, thoughts and attitudes that are contrary to the will of God. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn. Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging. But it doesn't mean to just go around, as they say, with a long face, you know, and be sad and dreary. It means to be afflicted, to recognize that the Lord's Spirit is there to cleanse your heart and remind you of things that you shouldn't do. And if you have done those things, how do you cleanse your heart? You ask for forgiveness, that the Lord will forgive you of those things, and that he will cleanse your heart, your mind, your conscience. Be afflicted and mourn. Be truly penitent, truly sorry for your sins. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Again, that sounds a little dreary. I want to look at Mosiah 2:16. I'll begin at 13, verses that we're all extremely familiar with. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 13, believe in God, believe that he is. That's the beginning of it, is that you acknowledge the existence of God in your life. Believe in, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. He's the creator of all that is. And he gave each and every one of us a life and a spirit. And we need to believe that, to really understand that, to make that a guiding principle in our lives. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. This is a humility thing. You know, we want to know it all. You know, I don't want there to be anything in the scriptures or in the gospel that isn't just abundantly plain. But sometimes the Lord, I will say, withholds things from us. It's like when they asked him, why do you teach in parables? And he said, because, in my words, the people aren't ready for me to just tell them. I have to teach them by examples. He said, to you, speaking to his disciples, he said, to you is given to know the mysteries. But we're not going to comprehend everything because we're not God. And I think that he has put us in that position of not knowing everything to keep us humble. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. That's what this is talking about here in James when it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Understand that we're not perfect, but we have a goal and we have the Spirit that will lead us along that goal. But we have to recognize that we need to repent when we fall short. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humility is a central feature of what I was just reading out of the Book of Mormon, out of who we are, that if we think we do know it all, then we're fooling ourselves. But it makes, what does it do? It makes us proud, it makes us boastful. And that's not an attitude that's really very attractive to other people. So humble yourselves. Realize that we are not God. In Psalm 100 it says that he created us. We didn't create him. and he shall lift you up. We rely on him for everything. And he says, I will encourage you. If you draw close to me and do your best to keep the commandments and order your life in a way that is right and true, that I will lift you up. When he said, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness, he's saying, turn it over to me. If you're mine, then I will lift you up. The pleasures of the world will never lift you up. They will drag you down and give you over to Satan. There's a few verses in Luke that just really touch my heart about humility. And I want to read those verses for you in the first chapter of Luke. And I'm going to begin at the 46th verse. And this is Mary, Jesus' mother. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, the creator of the universe. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. She to me is a perfect example of humility. She knew who her son was. But rather than being proud about it, she found it in an extremely humbling experience. And I glory in reading these words of this humble, humble woman. So, I'm thankful for these words of James that encourage us to alter our lives in a way that is consistent with God's desires for us. Now, and I look at these verses, I look at the verses in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about transforming your life. I look at the verses in the Book of Mormon when Christ was speaking to the people here on this land. He said, I don't want your sacrifices and your shedding of blood. What I want is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. All of these things are the basis for humility, repentance, and forgiveness, and entering into that kingdom of heaven here on earth. So I thank you for your time and for your attention, and go back some time and just read through those verses in James and help to remember the kind of people we need to be. Thank you very much, and God bless you each.